Well, we're talking about soft answers to tough questions. Soft answers because we're not trying to alienate our enemies. We're loving our enemies. And we're looking at the tough questions about miracles, sort of the last one we'll be talking about, miracles. But the question of the skeptic is, how can miracles be possible? And the question is loaded with a presupposition. Well, let's get into it. And it's one of those things that somebody would say that to you, and you could smile a bit and say, I see how you could ask such a question. But the skeptic's opinion, the following statements, one ancient, one modern, are typical responses of skeptical people about miracles. Marcus Tullius Cicero, 106 BC to 43 BC, in his book De Divinatione, something like that. His argument goes like this: for nothing can happen without cause. Nothing happens that cannot happen. When what was capable of happening has happened, it may not be interpreted as a miracle. If it happened, it had a cause. All things happen because of a cause. Therefore, it's not a miracle. Consequently, there are no miracles. We therefore draw this conclusion: what was capable of happening is not a miracle. So pretty tight logic there. In Protestantism, this quote, for example, there is the record of the life of Jesus Christ in the Bible. That record contains accounts of events which, in the light of the facts of the natural order, which were known, could not possibly have happened. Children are not born to virgins. Angels do not bring messages to people. Men do not walk on water. People who die do not return to life, and so on. The story of Jesus Christ was filled with what men had learned were impossibilities. Therefore, the story could not be a literal account of the actual happenings. When the New Testament was written, men may have been naive enough to believe the things that were said about Jesus, and they may have seen no contradiction between the reports and their knowledge of the world. But now, all was otherwise. Now we're so smart. So these skeptics laugh at the idea of miracles because they argue miracles are a violation of scientific laws and so unacceptable to modern man. Well, let's look from the skeptic's opinion, let's look at the scriptural opinion. The scriptures from the beginning to the end tell of miracles. There are accounts of disabled people immediately healed, people that were born lame, people that were born blind, deaf, dumb, unable to speak. All of these things did not gradually get better, as with medicine, but were instantaneously healed. Dead people being raised to life. Extraordinary events. There's a worldwide flood, the parting of the Red Sea. So the question is, why does the Christian believe in miracles? The basis for believing in miracles begins with the biblical conception of God. That's where it all starts. The very first verse in the Bible decides the issue. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is not, you know, a philosophy. It's a simple statement. It simply states that time began, that was the beginning, when an infinite but personal God created the universe. The ultimate beginning, the first click of the clock, if they had a clock. So, if this is believed as true, miracles are not a problem. If the Creator God has the ability to make all things, then a virgin birth, walking on water, feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish, and all the other Bible miracles are not only possible, but expected. that if he enters his influence into the normal world system, it would come out a miracle. If, however, one does not believe in a God, he cannot accept miracles. Those who have accepted the possibility of God, for those who have not accepted, who have accepted it, it is not at all ridiculous. As the Apostle Paul once said to an unbelieving king in Acts 26:8, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" If there is a God, the God that we've talked about, who made life, why would it be incredible that he would raise the dead? So what is the central issue here? Behind this question is the issue of whether or not God exists. That's this whole question about miracles. If there is a God, then miracles are possible. In fact, by the very nature of a miracle, it must happen supernaturally. Naturally, miracles don't happen. It has to be supernaturally that they would happen. So the obvious answer to the question, can miracles be possible, is of course. If there is a God, for a miracle must be an act of God. Something out of the ordinary. It is just false reasoning to say that miracles violate natural or scientific laws. It's a misunderstanding of what a scientific law is. Scientific laws neither dictate events nor explain them. They just document them. These laws just generalize observable cause and effect. So a natural law says this is the way it almost always happens, within certain limits, within certain boundaries. It doesn't say what can or can't happen. I don't know if you remember reading from time to time about when trains started getting faster, and the comment was, if you go above 25 miles an hour, the people riding, their hearts would stop. But fortunately, it's impossible to go that fast. And then we went that fast, and people's hearts didn't stop. And then we went faster. All the predictions of what had never happened before found out that it could happen. So it's ridiculous to say that a scientific law prevents a miracle from happening. It's foolish to reject the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea 3,500 years ago by saying that such an event does not happen every day. That's why it's called a miracle. The laws of nature describe what is normal. Therefore, appealing to the laws of nature to refute miracles is self-contradictory. The Bible teaches that an all-powerful God breaks into the natural order from time to time with his supernatural acts. If you can imagine the technical science of making computers, and you have, you know, somebody like me who knows how a computer is supposed to, how to function, and then maybe somebody like Seth comes in and does some tinkering, he can do that. My tinkering would just be blowing up the computer. But he could be doing something that actually changes it, and that would be based on a superior understanding and knowledge of all that he was tinkering with. The natural law for me would be that everything would be the same. So a miracle is, by definition, an event that is unique and not usual. It is impossible to account for it as we do other events. It is foolish to determine if something happened or not based on whether or not we can explain it. There's really a whole lot going on in this world that I can't explain. So the first real question to be asked is not, can it happen? Because you have no possible way of knowing that. But rather, did it happen? is there historical evidence that it did happen? You can't reject it because you believe it can't happen because you can't explain it. That's just ignorance. If an event is determined in all the ways possible as having happened, and yet it defies explanation, what are we left with, you see? We don't go back and deny that it happened. We must admit it happened, but it is unexplained. Somebody was talking about an unidentified flying object, a UFO. I said, almost everything that I see flying in the air is, to me, a UFO. I have no idea what it is, the name of it. It has, you know, some sort of airplane. No, it's a jet. Well, it's unidentified to me. All unidentified flying object means is whoever saw it couldn't identify it. The evidence for Bible miracles is as powerful historically as other more usual historical events, such as the fall of Rome, the conquest of Alexander the Great, or Napoleon. These only happened once. They were unique. They weren't miracles, but they were one time happening. And yet we have the historical evidence of it. We also have the historical evidence of these miracles. Just because miracles are outside of our normal daily experience does not mean that they have not occurred or cannot occur. It just happens to be outside our experience. A volcano that erupts every 300 years or something, it's outside the personal experience of everybody living whenever it happens. So the conclusion is this. When all the evidence is taken into account, there are excellent reasons for believing in the possibility of miracles and also in their actuality. For all of the reasons that we would believe that there is a God, we then, our mind, our reasoning must be held captive to say, well, if there is a miracle-working God in existence, then he could work miracles. Yes, sir.
When naturalists first sent back descriptions of the platypus...
We used that as an illustration just the other day. So, go.
It was thought to be a hoax.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they didn't believe him, so they went back and actually brought the dead skin back, and they said, "You made that up, you know. You had that composed." So, yeah, that's.
Now, if you read about the platypus, and I did a report on the platypus, they sound made up.
Yeah.
They sound fictional. They're so strange.
Duck-billed, flat-tailed mammal laying eggs. What?
And they secrete milk, but they don't have breasts. They secrete it through the skin pores on their abdomen for their young. They just sound so bizarre.
Mm-hmm. My wife was watching a nature show about wombats. They're a marsupial. They have a pocket for the children. The baby crawls out of the mother, this embryo-shaped baby, and then crawls into the pocket. But the pocket, compared to like to the kangaroo, the pocket is right side up on a kangaroo. The pocket is upside down on a wombat. So even though the baby is in the pocket, she can't see it for 8 months, something like that. Some interesting and strange creatures. And the fact that we don't know everything means that we should be open to understand there might be some things that we don't understand that actually have happened.